Kedushas Levi for Parshas Tetzaveh, Tafshin Ayin Ches. Okay, a lot of good pieces. Let's see. We'll start from the beginning. Navo Leva'er Letaretz Ala Kushya Shemakshim Kol Mefarsh. We begin with a question that's not found in a particular pasuk in the Parsha. It's something that permeates the entire Parsha and is asked by many commentaries, among them the Baal HaTurim. Lama Lo Nizkar Moshe B'Parsha Zim. The very famous question, why is Moshe Rabbeinu not mentioned in this week's Parsha? Parshas Tetzaveh, very strangely, has not one mention of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's noteworthy. It's interesting. The Megillah also doesn't have Hashem's name mentioned in it. So it's a time of the year where people's names who would expect to be up front and very, very present are missing. So it's a good question. Hinei ksiv bein chacham yisamach av. This is a good example of a pasuk that if you don't know how to pronounce it, you'll pronounce it wrong. Bain, not Ben, Bain. Chacham. What would you say the next word is? Yismach, right? No. Yisamach. And the last word you say is Av. No, it's Av with the kamatz. Okay, so it's good, important to look up psukim to make sure you pronounce things correctly. So Bain Chacham Yisamach Av. Umahu HaChachma. So the pasuk in Mishlei tells us that a wise son makes the father happy. Umahu chachma. So what does it mean to be wise? Does it mean to become a very wise doctor? A very smart politician? What does it mean to be wise? Mahu chachma. The answer is, Vayomer la'adam, hein yiras Hashem, hi chachma. The pasuk in Iyov tells us, what does it mean to be wise? Hein yiras Hashem, behold, yiras Hashem is wisdom. Okay, so a child who is God-fearing makes the father happy. That's what the pasuk is saying. He puts together two psukim. A wise son makes the father happy. And now he's telling us, what does it mean to be wise? Wise means yiras shamayim, yiras Hashem. V'hinei abori es baruch hu asu upal hakol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for literally everything. U'kesho olamos mistaklim b'shar sham. And when the worlds look towards their shoresh, meaning, when everything in the worlds and the worlds, plural, themselves, both the physical world in which we find ourselves and the many higher worlds above us, when they look, no matter how lofty they are, when they look at their shoresh, forget the worlds, take a person. A person's an olam katan. When you look to where you come from, so imagine, you have one of these days where you feel like you're a real big shot. You know, everything worked out great for you that day. Yeah, you went for a job interview and you got the job, and the night before you got engaged to your kala, and everything's just working out so great. And you had an awesome day in shir. You chop the shir and you asked a really good question. Yeah, and you won the lottery along the way. And Bitcoin doubled overnight. And everything's working out great for you, yeah? So remind yourself, take a second. You're like the biggest thing in the world. Pause for 1 second. Look to where you come from. Think back at your shoresh, meaning think about Hashem. And immediately, you'll be what? For being such a big shot, all of a sudden you're going to shrink. You'll feel very overwhelmed by the presence of Hashem. So that's true for a person. And that's true for everyone and everything. When something looks at its shoresh, when a malach, which is beyond anything we could comprehend, looks at Hashem, it shrinks, it shrivels up, it feels like nothing. There's a tremendous sense of awe, of yiras Hashem. I don't like the word fear, because it's also part of it, but more awe, respect, a deep respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when the olamos look at their shoresh, v'roim shemeatzmusam ein lehem klum, when the whole worlds look back to where they come from and they realize, Ein od milvado, I'm nothing without God, my existence is entirely dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rak kol chiyusam, hu me'eis habore baruch hu. When I realize that everything that I have and everything that I am is from Hashem, Oz yira upachad chel v'ra'ado yechazun. A person is seized by what? By fear, by awe, literally by terror. You're overwhelmed. Wow, I'm a creation of God. And a person realizes that my entire existence is dependent upon Hashem. Now what's interesting is, everything in the world feels that way when it looks at Hashem, even though there are things in the world which are opposing forces. They're opposites. Hashem makes a lot of different types of things. So for example, Eish umayim ruach va'afar. Just take fire and water, for example. Fire and water are opposites. Right? Sort of. They oppose each other. So when do fire and water see themselves as being opposites? When fire focuses on being fire, And water focuses on being water. But when fire realizes that I'm just an expression of Hashem, and water says I'm just an expression of Hashem, we both come from one source, all of a sudden, they are able to unify. They're able to recognize we have a lot more in common than we might have thought superficially. We look deeply at our shoresh, at our essence, and we realize that you might be fire and I might be water, but in fact, we all come from one source. This is only true when they look at themselves. They feel like opposites. When they realize that they're sustained and created and they exist because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shom Heim Ba'achtos Gamor. At the root, fire and water come from the exact same place, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Az Gam Ba'kan Heim Ba'achtos Gamor. Then they're able to unite in a way that, again, to our physical senses, is a contradiction. Fire and water working together? Yeah. At the Shoresh, at its root, they work together. All the more so, you meet a Jew, you'd feel like, this guy's not, you know, like, my Judaism and this person's Judaism are so different in the way that we serve Hashem. And I don't like this guy. I feel like he's the opposite of me. Okay, on the surface, you're very different. At your root, you're mamish the same. You're literally one. Your neshama and his neshama are really part of one big neshama. Okay, as it expresses itself down here, they seem like opposites. That's why you have to love every Jew. When you realize that your fellow Jew is a part of you, is mamish one with you at its root, so then how could you not like another type of Jew? During davening today, there was someone who was bothering me. I wasn't actually doing anything. It was just like one of those days, you know, where you're just like, you look at someone and they just bother you. It's terrible. It's chata ayanim laskir ayom. You know what I mean? So I went into Rabbi Victor Miller mode. Rabbi Victor Miller says that you have to try to look at people, especially like when you're not feeling their game so much, and you try to think about the fact that this person is created B'Tzelem Elokim. And you focus on that. I'm looking at kiviyachol, an image of Hashem. This person is reflecting the image of God. And therefore, I better find a way to like it, even if I'm not feeling it this morning. Right? And in general, as you go through life, you're going to meet some Jews who you connect with right away, and some Jews who just, they rub you the wrong way. Right? But you have to realize that at your shoresh, it's mamish one and the same. God forbid to dislike someone else. You're disliking yourself and you're disliking Hashem. Chas v'shalom. V'zeo ha-remez b'pasuk. And that's what hinted to in this pasuk. Again, the pasuk said, Hein yiras Hashem, hi chachma. Hein yiras Hashem, hi chachma. So says the Berditchever, Hein is a lashon of achdus. Hein implies unity. Why? Keperish Rashi, shekein b'lashon yavani koren la'achas hein. The Gemara in Shabbos says that hein is a Greek word for one. Okay? Forget the context of that Gemara for now. It has a lot of Hanukkah Torahs, obviously Yavan. Right? But hein in Lashon Yavani means is one. So what does the Pasuk mean according to this? Right? Again, the Pasuk Pshat in the Pasuk is hein is like hine, behold. But the way the Reditchever is learning it, hein yiras Hashem yichachma, hein yiras Hashem yichachma means what? That there's a oneness that creates a yiras Hashem, and that is the true chachma. When you look back at Hashem, whether you're a malach, or whether you're a blade of grass, or whether you're a Jew with a neshama, whatever you are, when you look back at Hashem, and you feel that you're part of this big one, called the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it creates a sense of what? Of pachad. Because I thought I was such a big person, and then I realized I'm so small compared to God. So that's what it means. V'zeo ha-rem is hein ha-achtus ba mi-yiras Hashem. From yiras Hashem, a person comes to oneness. Right? Again, when I focus on the differences between you and myself, so then there's a lack of achdus, and there's a lack of yiras Hashem. When I feel batel, and that's the key word we're going to focus on in this piece, when I feel negated to Hashem, when I feel a sense of what? Of being subservient, entirely subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I don't feel like such a big shot that other people bother me, that other things bother me. I recognize the oneness. Through my yiras Hashem, hein, I come to a sense of achdus, a sense of oneness with myself and the entire universe. Kishahein b'yira machmas istaklusam b'shorsham. When one looks back to the Shoresh, az heim ba'achtus gamar, then a person achieves complete oneness. You become one with the Kadosh Baruch. V'zeh gam ken remez b'pasuk, and that's what the pasuk means. Oseh shalom b'mromav, hu yaseh shalom aleinu. The one who unifies, who makes peace, b'mromav, in the higher spheres, hu yaseh shalom aleinu. What does that mean? Oseh shalom. Eim asai naaseh shalom. Where does Hashem make shalom? Hashem's things down here are not in the state of shalom. Fire and water down here don't mix. Osa shalom, where do fire and water combine? Bimromav, in the heavens. Kishahein misromim mistaklim b'sharsham. when fire and water are able to lift themselves up, so to speak, to look back again to their source, then ozheim ba'acht is gamar. And that's what the Medrash even says, what Chazal darshan on this pasuk, Michal mimayim, Gavriel mi'esh, each of the malachim come from different kochos, and yet, osa shalom b'mromav. The malachim are able to what? Are able to unify by recognizing where they come from. Okay? Now, all of this is just an introduction to explain to us what? Why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not in the Parsha. So what does any of this have to do with Moshe not being in the Parsha? So for the sake of time, let me summarize the next couple of paragraphs. He goes on to explain, the Gemara says that Moshe, during the inauguration of the Mishkan, served as Kohen Gadol. For a short period of time, for that week, Moshe Rabbeinu, for a week, Moshe inaugurated the Mishkan and served as Kohen Gadol. Now the obvious question is that Moshe is not a Kohen Gadol. It's a little bit strange. And yet the Gemara says that Moshe during the Yemei HaMiluim, during the inauguration of the Mishkan, Moshe served in a white garment, b'chaluk lavan, in a white shirt. Right? It sounds like Big Day Kahuna. So Moshe operated as Kohen Gadol. What's the idea of white? What does white represent? So Kedushas Levi says, every tzaddik has a different color. It's very similar to what we were learning yesterday in Lekan Amar. Every tzaddik has a different color. Right? So for example, Avram Avinu is white, and Yitzchak is red. Right? Yitzchak's mida is gvura, gvura is red. And Yaakov is some type of green, or maybe a turquoise. Yeah, each tzaddik has his own color. Moshe has a color, Aaron has a color, everyone has a color. What does white represent? What is white?
All the colors.
White is all the colors. Right? White combines, so to speak, all of the colors. And therefore, a person who's wearing white, so to speak, embodies all of the different kochos. So how does Moshe Rabbeinu become Kohen Gadol? How does Moshe, who's not a Kohen, act like a Kohen? How does he serve as a Kohen? The answer is, when a person reaches that level called white, he becomes all-encompassing. How does one reach the level called white? How does one achieve that level? What does it mean to be white? It means to reach the level of bittul to Hashem. Right? To not want to be a particular color, because I'm my own thing. No, I want to be part of the, right? I mean, if we pictured Hashem, not so much allowed to do that, but a little bit we're allowed to do that. If we pictured Hashem, if I had to say, pick Hashem's color, what color would you pick? White. You would all pick white. Right? A big, bright, white light illuminating from the heavens. Yeah? It seems like a childish image, but there's a lot of truth to that, and there's a lot of depth to that. So white is all-encompassing. So Moshe Rabbeinu, being the humble person that he was able to negate, so to speak, his personal color in order to become what? In order to become dressed in white. And when you become the ultimate color, then you could be everything. You could even be a Kohen. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu became a Kohen during the Yemei HaMiluim because of his unbelievable bittul to HaKadosh Baruch. That's the midah of Moshe Rabbeinu, to become an all-encompassing person. Today, being Moshe Rabbeinu's yahrzeit, it's very fitting that we talk about this. That Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash says, was keneged kol Yisrael. He was an all-encompassing Jew. He was an all-encompassing Jew. Let's see, how does it work? What's mem times shin times hey? I don't know if this is going to work. Let's try it for a second. I think this is a thing. Mem times shin times hey, the letters of Moshe's name. Mem shin hey. Mem times shin times hey. 40 times 300 times 5. Is it 600,000 or 60,000? 40 times 300 times 5. 60,000? 60,000. So how does the Shla do it? The Shla has a remez. He says mem times shin times hey. He throws in a yud to get it to 600,000. But the man, I forget why he throws in the yud. Interesting. Okay, but he's all incompetent. What's the gematria of Moshe Rabbeinu? How about that one? What's the gematria of Moshe Rabbeinu? No, let's do it. Moshe, 345. Rabbeinu? 258. So, Moshe, 345 plus Rabbeinu, 258 is?
603.
603? No. I messed it up? What's Rabbeinu? Rabbeinu. 268. What did I say? 268. Ah, sorry, 268. Right? Reish is 200, yeah. So Moshe Rabbeinu is 613. Moshe Rabbeinu's gematria is 613. Which makes sense, because he's the all-encompassing teacher of Torah who teaches us, Kol HaTorah Kula, the 613 mitzvahs. One of the Rishonim says, what's Moshe plus Sinai plus Sivan? Moshe, Sinai, v'Sivan. Because that was Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah and Chodesh Sivan on Har Sinai. Moshe, Sinai, v'Sivan. This one from one of the Rishonim says this. Moshe, Sinai, v'Sivan. So Moshe is 345. Sinai is? Sinai is 130. So what are we up to? Okay, plus v'Sivan. Sivan is what?
What's known as
132? Did I mess this up? What's Vis Sivan? 607? 345. Sinai is? What do we say Sinai is? Vis Sivan is another 132. So it's what? 607? Which vav did I miss?
The Vesivan.
Yeah, I got the Vesivan. Oh, Vesinai. Moshe, Vesinai, Vesivan. Yeah? Maybe. It's from one of the Rishonim. It's called Sefer HaKushios. It's written by a Rishon. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu is 613. Moshe, Vesinai, Vesivan is 6. You could say Vav Sivan also, because that's when the day we got the Torah, right? Instead of, if you don't like Vesivan, you could say Moshe, Vav Sivan, Vesinai. Okay. Also 613. But the bottom line is Moshe is an all-encompassing Jew. What's Samach times Yud times Nun times Yud? Sinai times itself. Is that 600,000? 60 times 10 times 50 times 10?
60,000.
Yeah?
I mean, if we got 60,000 before, then we added 10.
300,000.
That's 300,000? I don't know. The Shlah is something. The Shlah does something where he puts together somehow. He turns Moshe into 600,000. But that's what the Medrash says. The Medrash says... that there was someone who was born in Mitzrayim. The Medrash says there was a woman who gave birth in Mitzrayim. Yeah, what do you got? The Medrash says there was a woman who gave birth to someone. There was a woman who gave birth to 600,000 Jews in Mitzrayim. So the Medrash says, how could a person give birth? Some women gave birth to 6 kids at a time. That was already a big chiddush. A woman who gave birth to 600,000 kids at one time. So the Medrash says, yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu was connected to all 600,000 Jews. Okay? So Moshe is an all-encompassing person. Again, the chiddush here, listen carefully. The chiddush is, the more you negate yourself, the bigger you become. That's v'na'afachu. That is so against what we would think. We think the more I do, and the more I try to conquer, and the more I try to get myself out there, the bigger I'll be. And then you talk to big people, or you read their life stories, and some of them are very depressed. It's strange, you know, you're such a powerful person. Haman is so depressed. He has almost everything a person could want, and he's so depressed. Right? And you read the stories of very successful CEOs, read their biographies. Some of them are very sad stories, right? But they're such big people. The answer is, a Jew gets big by negating himself to Hashem. The mashal we like to give, right? That video that we watched together a few weeks ago, that Ori sent out, take your drop of water and throw it back into the ocean. Instead of trying to be your own independent drop of water, realize you're part of something much bigger. Don't try to be a separate drop of water. See, your drop of water, your neshama, is part of the big ocean of all neshamas. Then you'll feel really big. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu wore white. Moshe Rabbeinu he's a chameleon, he becomes a Kohen Gadol. White is all-encompassing. That's why, says the Radichever, when it comes to making the begadim, it doesn't say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. I'm sorry, I said it backwards. Go to this, let's do this paragraph inside. Uvezeh yuvu'ar. You see it? It's like three paragraphs after we were just up to. Uvezeh yuvu'ar hadikduk. You see it? Yeah? No? Do you not have it as a separate paragraph?
No.
Uvezeh yuvu'ar hadikduk. Shagam haRambanzal. You see the Ramban? See where it quotes the Ramban? No?
Oh, yeah.
Where is it? The left column of?
Kuf
Tzadi Zayin. The left column of Kuf Tzadi Zayin, about halfway down, he quotes the Ramban. You see that? Now we understand, if Moshe Again, we're white. He became a Kohen. What does that mean? Ba'asiyas ha-begadim b'parshas pekudei. When it came to making the clothing, what does it say? It says by every thing, Ka'asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. As God commanded Moshe. V'yasu es bigdei ha-kodesh, Ka'asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. V'chein b'chol asiyas begadim, whenever Moshe was making the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, Ka'asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. U'b'parshas v'yakel, ba'asiyas ha-mishkan, but in Vayakel, when it talks about building the Mishkan, it doesn't say Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Why not? Why Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe by the clothing and not by the building of the Mishkan? So he explains, Moshe Rabbeinu was not a Kohen. And therefore, for Moshe to build the Mishkan, that's for all the Jewish people. You don't need a special, you don't need to negate yourself to God to know how to do that. Every Jew can build the Mishkan. The Big Day Kahuna are not Shayach to Moshe Rabbeinu. So how does Moshe, right, not really being a Kohen, how does he have the ability to understand the Big Day Kahuna? And the answer is, he negates himself to Hashem, and he becomes a Kli, Kasher Tziva Hashem as Moshe. He allows himself to be receiving from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So my friends, this Parsha is the Parsha that deals with what? The Big Day Kahuna. Last Parsha was about the things of the Mishkan. So it mentions Moshe Rabbeinu. This Parsha, which talks about Big Day Kahuna, which is not really Shaykh to Moshe Rabbeinu because he's not really a Kohen. So therefore, how does Moshe have a Shaykhus to this Parsha? And the answer is, well, you don't find his name in the Parsha. Why don't you find Moshe's name in the Parsha? Look at the last paragraph on this piece. V'zeu ha-remez asher k'siv ba'asiyas bigdei kahuna. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Klomar, im Moshe. When it came to making the bigdei kahuna, Hashem assisted Moshe because Moshe negated himself to God. He couldn't really understand the bigdei kahuna. He's not a Kohen. And this answers the question that we raised at the beginning. Why is Moshe's name not in our Parsha? Moshe's name is not found in our Parsha. Ki Parsha Tetzaveh Iker Alasiyas Bigdei Kahuna Nemra. The main message in the Parsha, the main focus of the Parsha, is making the Bigdei Kahuna. Vaya Moshe Batel B'Mitzias Kedei Lahasig Asiyas Bigdei Kahuna. The only way Moshe could understand the Bigdei Kahuna was what? By negating himself. In other words, by removing his name. By making less Moshe and becoming more all-encompassing. By being mevatel himself to Hashem. That's why the Parsha of Bigdei Kahuna is a Parsha where Moshe, so to speak, plays a very quiet role. Kesha'odam batal b'metzias eino nikra shemo alav. When a person loses his metzias, his existence, so his name is no longer called. How can it be called by name defines a person? A person who negates himself doesn't have a name. And therefore, in our Parsha, the name of Moshe Rabbeinu is not found at all. It's a lesson in a person being mevatel himself to become actually bigger, to become even bigger. I'll tell you a var from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that Moshe Rabbeinu is actually hinted to in every pasuk in the Parsha. And it highlights our point in Avodah. The more you negate yourself to Hashem, the bigger you become. If it says Moshe in the Parsha, let's say five times, so then, okay, so there's five mentions of Moshe. But if you negate yourself, you become the whole Parsha. The Vilna Gaon said the following. The Vilna Gaon said, there are 101 psukim in Parshas Tetzaveh, which has a lot to do with Purim for another time. But the Vilna Gaon said the following remez. The Vilna Gaon said, if you spell out the letters of Moshe's name, so Mem is Mem Mem, right? And He is He Aleph. And Shin is Shin Yud Nun. Okay? I did it out of order. I don't know why I did that. Mem Shin Hei. Yeah, I did it out of order. Sorry. Hey, Moshe. Yeah? So the letters that emerge, the Mem of Mem Mem, the Aleph of Hei Aleph, and the Yud Nun, these letters equal 101. So the Vilna Gaon said, right, when you spell out someone's name, you're taking the inner aspect of Moshe's name. The Miloy, you're taking the Kishkas of Moshe, I mean. So the 101 Psukim in the Parsha, says the Vilna Gaon, are hinted to by what? By taking the inner essence of Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, he was mevatel himself on the surface. He gave up the mem and the shin and the hay. But if you spell out those letters, the insides of those letters, the pnimius of those letters, is gematria 101, which is exactly the number of psukim in our parsha. Says the Vilna Gaon, you think Moshe is not in this parsha? Moshe is the whole parsha. 101 psukim, it's the inner essence of Moshe Rabbeinu. But again, one achieves the inner connection to Hashem by negating their superficial connection to Hashem. Stop trying to be your own thing. Be mevatel yourself to Hashem. Make yourself unidentifiable and you'll be much bigger. Maybe that's the secret of perm costumes. Maybe that's the secret of perm costumes. Right? I don't want to be called by my name. I don't want to be identified. I want to be bigger than myself. I want to negate myself to Klal Yisrael. Perm is a zman of achdus. Kimu v'kiblum. The time of Leichinos Kol Yehudim. A time of tremendous achdus, of Jews coming together. So maybe the best way to do that is to stop being, you know, Moshe Tzvi and Avi and Shlomo and to become different people. Right? To become unidentifiable people. You become a clown and I'll become a banana and you'll become whatever. Yeah? So seriously, maybe that's the theme of Parshas Tetzaveh. Give up your personal name and dedicate yourself to the Klal. It's a Gevaldik idea, I think. Okay. Let's skip the next little piece and we'll go to the piece after that. O Yivuar. Va'ata Tetzaveh Zbnei Yisrael. We'll try to connect it to Parshas Zachor, which we read this Shabbos. The parsha actually begins with the words "Va'ata tetzaves bnei Yisrael." You should command bnei Yisrael. What should you command them to do? To prepare shemen zayis zach for the menorah. There are very fascinating connections between Chanukah and Purim, and therefore it's not by chance that our parsha, which we read as we enter the Yom Tov of Purim, starts off with a reference to Chanukah, preparing the shemen zayis zach for the menorah. The Sfarim talk about that connection. Va'ata tetzaves bnei Yisrael. Says the Kedushas Levi, Mishum de Harizal Kosov, Lakach Matsinu Gabe Moshe, Sha'amr lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, there's a Rizal in Parsha Shmos, that Moshe is told, you should go, and I'm going to send you to Paro. Why does Hashem not go to Paro himself? Right. We don't understand the connection to the Parsha yet, we'll see. Right. But the Berditcher is introducing us, based on an Arizal, that Hashem often sends messengers to beat up the bad guys. Why doesn't Hashem come by himself? Why did he send Moshe Rabbeinu as his shliach to take care of a bad person like a paro? Duhu yisbarach raktov umetiv. Underline that line. It's a chashuv line. Hashem is only good. Okay, and therefore what? Ve'eino miyachis shemo al hara. Hashem doesn't like to attach his name to be involved with anything negative. Ki mipi elyon lo teitzei haraos. Because mipi elyon, from the one above, bad does not emerge. Va'af gabe umos ha'olam. Listen to this line. Even for the nations of the world, kashalo hara shemevi aleihem. It pains HaKadosh Baruch Hu to punish the bad guys. Because they're also his creatures. They're also his creations. The famous conversation, right? When the angels wanted to sing Shira by Kriyas Yamsuf. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ma'aseh yadai tovin bayam. My creations are drowning in the sea, and you want to sing Shira? The Egyptians, my creations. Hashem's probably pretty angry at the Egyptians. He's about to kill them. But it pains HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like to attach himself to the bad things that have to happen in this world, even to the bad guys. Right? Even by the Umas Olam, it pains Hashem to bring bad upon them. Lakach Hisharotza Lahakos Paro. Amar Lo Lashon. And therefore, when it came time to strike Paro, Hashem says to Moshe, you go, Perish Me'atzmecha. You go, Lech to Paro, you go to Paro. I don't want to go to Paro, go on your own to Paro. Hashem says, I don't want to be a part of it. It's too hard for me. It's amazing. Hashem is so good that Hashem even sees the good in the most wicked people of all time. She'ein ze kavod liyachis shemo al Paro. I don't want to attach my name to Paro. I don't want to be involved. I don't want to be connected to bad, and I don't want to be involved. Now you can ask a lot of questions on this. Because at the end of the day, Makos Bechoros and the Yetzia from Mitzrayim was carried out by Hashem. We highlight that in the Agada. Aniva lo malach, aniva lo shliach. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm the one who, at the end of the day, who carries out the job. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to be attached to negative things. Umizeh nilmad shekasha lefon of davar ra, ve'onesh afilu l'umasol. And therefore it's hard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu even to punish wicked people. Mikol shekein neged zeri Yisrael. All the more so, when Hashem has to punish us, it pains Him much more than it even pains us. L'chein amru chazal. Therefore, Rav Hoseinu explained, our rabbis taught us, V'la'asid lavo yiyu Yisrael ru'uyim lasos avoda k'kohen gadol. There's a very deep idea that in the future, every Jew is going to somehow be like a kohen gadol. Ach ata b'shah sh'asu as a mishkan. But at this point in history, when the mishkan is being built, ozai ratan Hashem yisparach li'os avoda b'kohanim daika. At this point, obviously, the kohanim are only the kohanim. There is such a concept that Allah said, every Jew is going to be like a Kohen Gadol. And therefore what? L'kach lo ratza liyaches ha-mitzvah zu la'atzma. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to attach himself to this mitzvah, rak amar lo va'ata titzaveh es b'nei Yisrael. Let me tell you what I think the Kedushas Levi is saying. I'm not 100% sure this is correct, but this is what I think he's saying. I think he's saying, he starts off by introducing us to the concept that Hashem is so good he never wants to do anything bad. He doesn't even want to punish bad guys. He certainly doesn't want to punish Jews. Hashem doesn't like to attach himself to something that is not ideal. The ideal for Hashem is all good all the time. The ideal is probably what's going to be Lasid Lavo. So how does it look Lasid Lavo? Who works for Hashem? Who's the Kohen Gadol? Everyone's the Kohen Gadol, whatever that means. It's a deep idea. And therefore, as right now we're assigning particular people to be Kohanim, Hashem says, I don't want to be involved with that. That's Bidiyavid by me. Hashem, you're commanding it. Okay. But for the moment, it's Bidiyavid. Hashem says, that's not the Tachlis. The Tachlis is that every Jew should be a Kohen Gadol. And therefore, right now, when only a select group of people are going to be serving me as Kohanim, Hashem says, I don't want that to come from me. Because it's not the way I realize. Again, Hashem recognizes that's what's necessary at this time period. Right? But he says, Moshe, ata titzaveh. You tell B'nai Yisrael to do this. Don't tell them it's from me. Because Hashem says, I don't want to be attached to anything that's even Bidiyavid. That's how I understand this piece from the B'nai Yisrael. Hashem says, I don't want to attach my name to this. Ata titzaveh es B'nai Yisrael. Now, what does this have to do with Parshas Zachor? There's an interesting connection. In Parshas B'Shalach, the last piece, if you turn back to Parshas B'Shalach, the last piece in B'Shalach, the Berditcher raises the question, why is Melchemes Amalek such a difficult battle? Why is it such a difficult battle? And he goes on and he says, nothing's really difficult for Hashem. And then he quotes the Arizal again, that we just learned. Nothing's difficult for Hashem, but Hashem is so good, he doesn't like beating up bad guys. And when Hashem does beat up bad guys, you know what the purpose is? So that they'll learn their lesson. When it comes to Amalek, the tragedy of Amalek is that they never learn their lesson, they have to be completely destroyed. And therefore, it pains the Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you could say such a thing, to destroy Amalek. And that's why the battle of Amalek schleps along for so long. That's more or less what he says in the last piece in Parshas B'Shalach. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu is always sending a shliach to take care of things, because Hashem doesn't want to be involved in destructive. Hashem punishes if he has to, but he wants a shliach to carry it out for him because he wants people to associate him with good. And therefore, the battle against Amalek is difficult, not because God can't handle them, but it's because it's hard for Hashem to destroy a people completely, knowing that they're beyond hope. Amalek has to be destroyed. They're not able to be rectified. And that's hard for Hashem, kivyachol, to see such a thing. Obviously, Hashem orchestrates all of this. But the lesson for us is, right, to realize that everything Hashem does is for the good. And when we're being punished, Hashem is hurting much more than us. And when people of the world are being punished, it also hurts Hashem. And you should realize that Hashem is mamish, the ultimate source of all that is good in this world. Okay? Let's jump to the end of the parsha. There's so much here. I'm not sure what to do. It's so late already. Okay, let's take a look at the piece that starts off, O Yivu'ar Vasisa Bigdei Kodesh. There's a piece that starts Vasisa Bigdei Kodesh, and then the paragraph after that is O Yivu'ar, another explanation of Vasisa Bigdei Kodesh. You have that? Do you have the second paragraph there that says Vahem Neged Yud Beis Shiftei Ka? You have that as a separate paragraph? No. Okay, do you see where it says Chodesh Adar Hu Neged Yosef? Can you find that? Chodesh Adar Hu Neged Yosef? Yeah? Okay, so keep your finger there for a second, and I'll tell you what he says. He starts off this piece, he says there are 12 months in the year. There are 6 summer months and 6 winter months. And those 6 correspond to 6 of the Sviros. And they're corresponding Mida. So there's, so to speak, a winter Ahava and there's a summer Ahava. There's a winter Yira and there's a summer Yira. The 12 months of the year parallel different Midos, different Kochos and Nefesh. Okay. And then he says, of course, the 12 months of the year correspond to the 12 Shvatim. Now let's learn a little Purim Torah from the Kedushas Levi. Okay, look what he says. Chodesh Adar Hu Neged Yosef. The month of Adar corresponds to Yosef. Now there's different ways to calculate which Shevet corresponds to which month. But the Berditcher says something here which is very compelling. He says that Chodesh Adar, he's not the first one to say this idea, but he says Chodesh Adar is Keneged Yosef HaTzadik. Why does that make sense? He says a beautiful pshat. Umimenu Yatzu Beis Shvatim Ephraim Menashe. Who is the only Shevet to split into two and to become two Shvatim? Yosef. becomes Ephraim and Menashe. What is the only month in the calendar year to split into 2 months? Adar Aleph, Adar Sheni. Yeah? So says the Berditchever and the Marsha on the back of the Gemara, preceded him in saying this by several hundred years. He says as follows, about 150 years, let's say, 200 years. Lakach Chodesh Adar Me'ubar. And therefore the month of Adar is the month that we expand. Why? Yesh Lefam Shnei Chodashim Adar. Sometimes there's two Adars, just like there's an Ephraim and a Menashe. Chavra, what is the sign for Adar? We learned it in the fish. That's right, fish, dagim. What was the bracha of Ephraim Menashe, of Yosef HaTzadik? The lachain Adar Mazel Dagim. Why? Because that's a bechina of Yosef. Dichsev v'yidgu. You should multiply like fish. V'yidgu larov b'karav haaretz. So we see a lot of connections between Yosef and Chodesh Adar. Okay. Now, go to the next paragraph, or just go a couple lines down, where it says, Ukamo bi Yosef hu beiz shvatim Ephraim Menashe. Just like Yosef is made up of two shvatim Ephraim Menashe. And what do their names mean? Who was first? Who was the older one? Actually, who was actually the older one? Yaakov crossed his hands, but who was the older? Menashe was the older. Why was Menashe called Menashe? Yosef was reflecting on his struggles. Why was Ephraim called Ephraim? More positive. Ephraim, right? Pruervu. To produce fruits, to be successful. Menashe represents suffering. Ephraim represents success. So Chevra, so listen. Says the Berditchever, these two Shvatim Ephraim, Menashe, Menashe romes al tsaris Yisrael, the difficulties of Klal Yisrael, ki nashani Elokim, Hashem has caused me to move past my suffering. But the name Menashe is connected to Yosef's suffering. Ephraim is romes al tovos, al derech ki Ephrani Elokim. Ephraim represents what? Spiritual success. Ephrani Elokim. God has caused me to be successful in Mitzrayim, Yosef says about himself. So too, Chodesh Adar. Think about it. Is there any month that starts off with as much tsaris as Adar and ends with as much success? There's no month like it. Our month goes from Menashe to Ephraim. From the scariest gezerah ever, Haman's decree hanging over our heads, to what? To Chodesh Ephraim. The two Adars. Yosef, the two Shvatim, Menashe and Ephraim, difficulties followed by success. That is what Chodesh Adar is all about. If you remember, we learned that the name of Hashem for the month of Adar, the arrangement of Hashem's name for Adar, is Hey Hey Yud Vav. The letter Hey is the letter of Din, Yud and Vav are letters of Chesed. So the first part of the month, Hey Hey, it's Mamish Gvura, it's Midas Adin, we feel like Klal Yisrael is going to be destroyed. The second half of the month, Venafachu, it's the biggest Chesed in the world, it's the biggest Simcha in the world. But Yidgu LaRov, such unbelievable success for Klal Yisrael. And that's alluded to again in the names of the two children of Yosef corresponding to this month. He then says an amazing thing, very interesting. He says, if you look at the, again, the mazel of the month is Dagim, is Dag. Dalid Gimel. What does Dalid Gimel mean? So say fish. That's true, Dalid Gimel means fish. But what does Dalid Gimel mean? There's a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Dalet. He quotes it here. I'm just going to say it outside. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Dalet, darshins all of the letters. It says Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Gimel, Dalet means, the Gemara says Gimel, Dalet means Gimel, Gomel, Dalim. Dal means to be poor. Gomel means Gemilas Chasadim. Yeah? So if the month of Adar is Dag, corresponds to a fish, that means we go from what? If Gimel Dalet is Gomel Dalim, so then flip it around. Right? Dalim Gomel. So that's what happened in the month of Adar. Dalim, we were mamish dal, we were poor, we were weak, we were scared for our lives. Haman was going to destroy us. And then, of course, it turned into what? The Gemilas Chasadim of Hashem to save us. So the whole transition of the month, really the story of Yosef's life, from struggle to kingship, to power, to success, is really a microcosm of what happened in Purim. And really expresses everything that happened in this month, okay? And he has a little bit more, but we'll stop with that, okay? Let's skip down to the third to last piece in the parsha, V'nasa Aaron es Shemosam alibo. Okay, this is in some ways the most important piece in the parsha, so pay close attention. V'nasa Aaron es Shemosam alibo. If you remember, of course, Aaron, part of the Big Day Kahuna, is the Choshen, and the Choshen has 12 stones on it. And on each of the stones represents one of the Shvatim. So hold on a second. Says the Berditchever, Yesh Ladaktik. Lama nasa Aaron shemos hashvatim. Why did Aaron carry the names of the shvatim on his breastplate? Uvechol makom atzinu shemuzkar zechus avos Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Shouldn't the choshen really take us back to our greatest chus of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, the founders? Why wear the names of the shvatim? And if you'll tell me that the names of the avos are also hinted to on the choshen, I don't know if you know this, but on each stone it had the names of the shvatim plus a little bit of the shem of the avos. Hine afal pishar b'sein ruzal, the Gemara explains, shagam shemos ha'avos hayusha. Even though the names of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov are also hinted to on the choshen, afal pichein lo matzino zeh b'feresh b'kasuf, but that's not found in the pasuk. The pasuk says that Aaron should wear the names of the shvatim on his chest. The names of the shvatim were etched into the stones. Why not the avos? What's the message of the Kohen Gadol wearing a breastplate that has all the names of all the shvatim? And he says something very berditchever-esque. What does he say? V'yavuar dinei ksiv v'aron, kivo v'achar Hashem mitoch b'nei Yisrael. You have to understand, when you're a Kohen, you feel special. When you're the Kohen Gadol, who gets to go lefnai v'lefnim on Yom Kippurim, you feel really special. Don't ever forget that just because you've been selected to carry out a particular avoda, that does not make you better than any other Jew. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is not better than anyone else. He knows a lot more Torah than everyone else. Right? On a very poshut level, he's a tzaddik, and we, as simple Jews, are mevatel ourselves entirely to him. He knows so much more than us. Such a tzaddik. Such a gadol. The gadol ador. Yeah? But at the same time, right, he's not better than us. Hashem doesn't love him more. He was selected, he was given a very lofty neshama, he's achieved unbelievable things in his lifetime. Right? But just because he's been selected, just because the Kohen Gadol has been selected, that doesn't mean Hashem loves him more. He has a particular task that he has to do. And guess what, Chavra? You have a particular task that you have to do. That's everything we've been learning for the last 5 weeks in Lekan Amar. Hashem doesn't love someone who does a different avodah, which you might superficially say is a better avodah. Hashem doesn't love him more. And therefore, Kohen Gadol, we say to you, Mr. Kohen Gadol, Kivo v'achar Hashem mitoch b'nei Yisrael. You're being singled out. You're selected from amongst all of Klal Yisrael. When one person is singled out from a group, we would think to say, the reason this individual was selected is because he's most beloved. That's why Hashem picked him. Hashem doesn't like me. Hashem likes him better. Everyone else is hated, is rejected. And you might say the same thing here. Maybe Aaron is picked, and everyone else who wasn't picked should feel like a loser. So says the Berditch, Rechas v'shalom. Lachein hayu chakukim shemos hashvatim. Aaron had to carry on his chest, on his heart, the name of every shevet. Laharos shegam bahem chafit Hashem v'oiv asam. That each person of each shevet is as desirable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Kohen Gadol himself. And that's why Aaron were the names of each of the shvatim, not just the avos. Again, you'll say, oh, the avos are still singled out. No, every person of every shevet. From Yehuda to Shevet Dan, from the highest to the lowest, and everyone in between. Aaron and Cohen have to be reminded, you're not better than anyone else. Turn to Parshas Baaloscha for a minute. We're probably not going to get to it during our regular Seder of Kedushas Levi this year, because the year ends right around then. If you turn to Parshas Baaloscha, Perechas Pasuk Yotes, towards the beginning of the Parsha. The third piece in the parsha. Yeah, the pasuk says, Hashem says, "Ve'etna salavim," and the pasuk before that says, "Ve'akach salavim." I'm selecting the levim. The third piece in Parshas Baaloscha. I'm selecting the levim. Yeah, again. So if you're just the lowly Yisrael, you're a loser. That's what you feel. Hashem says, "I choose the levim. I appoint the levim. I select the kohanim," and a regular Jew feels badly about himself. In Parshas Baaloscha, the third piece, says Rashi, Perish Rashi, al the pasuk ve'etna, chamisha pa'amim Yisrael b'pasuk. In this pasuk, when Shevet Levi is being singled out, you know how many times it says the word Yisrael? 5 times. Why? Lohodiachi basan. In order to show the love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael. Explains the Berditcher, what does that mean? Ki adam habocher davar me'advarm. Again, when someone is singled out, when someone is picked and someone else is not picked, it implies that this one is more beloved. That's how it works in this world. If you got picked first, right, on the basketball team, that's a sign that the coach likes you more. It's also a sign that you're more talented. In Yiddishkeit, there's no more talented or less talented. Everyone has to just do the best they can with whatever they have. And therefore, you would think that one is selected. Kevan Shabachar Bo Mikol Advarim, he's the most beloved. The Kan Shabachar Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Leviim, and here where the Leviim are being selected, Shema Tomar, you might mistakenly say, Chas V'Shalom, Kevan Shabachar B'Leviim, Ein Avasal Yisrael. Since Hashem selected Levi, it must be he doesn't like the rest of the Yisraelim as much. And therefore, how did the Kadosh Baruch Hu hint? Don't God forbid think that. For Lezeh, Kosov Yisrael, Hamisha Pa'amim, V'Pasuk Zeh. Hashem wrote the word Yisrael, 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 Yisrael 5 times in the Pasuk. Throughout the Pasuk, Yisrael is mentioned 5 times. Don't think because Shevet Levi has this particular unique avoda, which is special, that doesn't mean that Hashem doesn't love you. Lo diachi basan shel Yisrael, kamo le-Leviim. U'masha bachar be-Leviim. And that which God had to select the Leviim, hurak lechaper b'nei Yisrael. That was of necessity because they bring kapara to Klal Yisrael. But don't think Hashem loves you less. Don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God forbid, loves anyone any less than anyone else. Okay? And that's what we have to deeply think about and to try to really understand. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, doesn't attach his name, we said before, to something bidyavid. Hashem didn't create bidyavid people. If you're a Kohen, that's your avoda. If you're a Levi, that's your avoda. If you're a Yisrael, that's your avoda. If Hashem gave you a really good brain, then your avoda is to use it to serve Hashem. If you're not so smart, if it's difficult for you, that's also okay. It's not impossible for you to be a tzaddik and to be the best version of yourself that you could be. That's the avodah. Okay, last piece for today. Let's go back to Parshas Tetzaveh, and we'll do the second to last piece. There's a lot more here, but I want to save a couple minutes just to learn Purim for those who want to learn a piece in Shvili Pinchas and Purim. Umelesa yad Aaron v'yad banav. Umelesa yad Aaron v'yad banav. The second to last piece in Parshas Tetzaveh. Dinei bin yane olam haza. Lo nimtza shleimus. Okay? He starts off very strong. When it comes to things in this world, it's impossible to have shleimus. A person is never satisfied with what he has in this world. Chazal say, a person doesn't die with half of his desires fulfilled. So when it comes to gashmias, it's impossible to ever feel you have enough. Ki tamid chaser la'adam, shirotzu b'tanugei gashmiyam. Because a person who desires physical pleasure will always feel a lack. Dahainu. If he has pleasure from a particular thing, right? If he's getting a particular pleasure here, well, he's lacking in kavod. He needs more kavod. Or taivas hamishkal, right? Or he's craving intimacy. He's eating the most fancy meal, right? But he just has a taiva to be intimate with a person, with a woman. The second to last piece in Tetzaveh. Umalesa yad Aaron v'yad banav. Yeah? So a person who has this pleasure is lacking that pleasure. A person who has this pleasure is lacking that pleasure. You never have everything. You can't have it all. And even the person whose whole day is filled with taivas gashrias, he's never fully satisfied. V'tamid hu chaser. There's always going to be something else that you're going to be craving. Masha ein kein ba'avodas haborei. But the opposite is true in avodas Hashem. Misha ovid oso az hu shalem bakol. A person who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truly shalem. Ki darshe Hashem lo yachsu kol tov. A person who lives with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and realizes that his life is precisely arranged for him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he never feels that he's lacking anything. More money, more ability, less ability. He feels, I have everything. Darshe Hashem lo yachsu kol tov. Vezeh tainuk shel avodas Hashem ola al kula. And the pleasure of avodas Hashem is greater than everything. Yeah? The Kozhitzer Magid said that when he puts on his talis, the pleasure he gets putting on his talis is greater than all the pleasure of all the Rashaim, all the great pleasure seekers. If you took all their pleasure and combined it all for one moment of intense pleasure, the Kozhitzer Magid said about himself, I get more pleasure putting on my talis. Putting on my talis, I get more pleasure than all of the forbidden pleasures of the world, combined at once. Unbelievable. So the tainug, the greatest tainug in the world, is a person who understands the sweet pleasure of ruchnius. Kimishu davak bechius va'avdus shal ein sof. Because a person who's clinging to the service of the Infinite One Hashem, Asher hu shalem b'kol minei shleimus, again, when you attach yourself to the one who is complete, namely God, so then you become complete. You feel full, you feel satisfied. You're not left with these crazy cravings, right? That a person who's seeking pleasure, when one pleasure gets old, he goes on to another crazier pleasure. Of taiva solam hazeh. M'meila ha'adam adavak ba, when you cling to the one who is complete, namely Hashem, eino chaser lo gam kein shar davar. So then he's not lacking anything. He feels a sense of being complete. And that's what's hinted to in our pasuk. Let me read you the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? And then we'll finish the piece. The pasuk says, v'chargarta osam avnit, Aaron ubanav, gird, put a belt around Aaron and his sons, v'chavash alehem migbaos, v'hais alehem kahuna l'chukas olam, right, give them the belt, give them the hat, give them the clothing of Kohanim. Umilesa yad Aaron v'yad banav. What does that mean? Umilesa. Umilesa. Malay, you'll fill up their hands. What does that mean, you fill up their hands? Right? They'll feel full. Becoming a Kohen, wearing the big day kahuna, you feel full. They'll fulfill the avoda. What is it talking about? It says the Berditch, Rabbi Derech Hasidus, you know what it means? Umilesa yad Aaron v'yad banav, ratzalomar. Sha'amar l'moshe. Shayir Elahevi is Aaron Ubanov Lamadrega. Hashem says, Moshe, lift Aaron and his children up. Let them realize that being a Kohen, being a worker for Hashem, is the most malay thing in the world. It's the most full and fulfilling thing in the world. Kedei Shayyah Dvekim Lubachina Sakadusha. Va'az Yiyu Yedehem Malay Kolto. A Jew who's fully connected to Hashem feels so full, feels so satisfied, has such a simcha sachayim. Simcha and Shleimus are always connected. Maharal says that Simcha and Shleimus are always connected. The Gemara says a person who's not married is a person who's not happy. When a person gets married, you complete yourself, then you have happiness. Happiness and completion go together. So when a person feels full, you meet a tzaddik, they have a certain Simcha Sachayim. They seem so complete. And the answer is yes. Ki lo yechzer lahem shum davar. Kishyargishu noam v'tanug elyon. When you have the true pleasure of clinging to Hashem, nothing's lacking. V'lakach nikra shmonas yimei hamiluim. What a beautiful lashon. We refer to these days of inauguration as what? Yimei miluim. Yeah? The stones are called the avnei miluim. Aaron is told, umilesa yad Aaron. A Kohen feels so full. His whole life is fullness. Malei. Malei means full. Everything about his life is full. Ki oz haya ashras hashchina b'neihem. That at this moment, when the Mishkan was being established, there was such an influx, such a presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in their lives, hayu maleim tanug machmas hakedusha. They felt so full. They felt so full from the kedusha that they were surrounded by. So, Mir Tzashem, we should be Jews who understand this. Who understand that every Jew has his avoda. Every Jew is beloved by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's no one who Hashem likes more or less. When Hashem punishes us, it hurts him. Be mavatli yourself like Moshe Rabbeinu to Hashem to become much bigger than yourself. And then, last but not least, to realize that a life of avodas Hashem is a life that's so full. It's a life that's fulfilling, and it's a life that's so full. And a person, God forbid, who's chasing after the silly pleasures of the world, will spend his whole life chasing and never truly be satisfied. Okay? Good? All right. Stop here. Shkoyach.